Hi, this is John Goyack, Master Success Coach at Reframe Your Game. In today's broadcast, my friends, I'd like to talk about the concept that you are the show. You are the prize. What do I mean by that? As you go through to change your game, as you go out to decide where, how you want to shift your business, how you want to shift your career, how you want to grow your business, how you want to frame your offering to support various domains, new customers, new markets, you really have to work on you first. Because you show up, you're the one who people look to trust. You're the one people look to for information, for alignment, for a team fit, for passion, to fill their gaps, to fit their needs. And you got a very short time to be able to prove that, my friends. And that's what I'd like to talk about today. So again, today's topic, you are the show. So I ran a program a while back that when we found out why we won, it was a very tough competition, but we went in and after, of course, all the various I's were dotted and T's were crossed and everything, went in and we really got the lowdown on why we won. And it came down to a simple conversation a couple of years after the program started, actually, on a golf course. And a senior official, we asked him, hey, you know, why'd you pick us? And his answer was, you guys wanted it more. Now, that's an interesting thing to say. That says everybody's about equal. That says that, you know, did they have any doubt that anybody could have done that job, you know, of these pretty elite companies? And I think the answer is no. So the question becomes, so what makes the difference? And sometimes it comes down to the personality, the persona, that you project, you broadcast out, and the kind of energy you show up with, how you play, and to show you really care. And that's especially important in for entrepreneurs, salespeople, because think about it. We all have in our minds a concept of a sales call, and it, you know, we go in, we, you know, glad hand, we tell a joke or two. I mean, this is really old school stuff, right? And then we talk about how great our stuff is, and then sometimes, curiously, we don't even ask for the sale. We don't close the deal. So I'd ask you to reconsider that model if anybody's still following that. That says, look, you know, you go in high and hot, you walk in totally on fire, you totally passionate, totally prepared, because you are what's showing up. You're the way you show up highlights or exacerbates their sense of gap, what they don't have, what they need from you. And I don't care if it's a can of soup, a vitamin supplement, a membership to a gym, or a new nifty cybersecurity device. It doesn't sell itself. You have to sell it. And that's how, again, it's how you show up caring and focused on what that person needs, what the industry needs, what the competitors are doing, and having all that built into your pitch. And also building in what the obvious, you know, black hat questions are. What are the barriers to what you're offering? Because you might as well build that stuff into your discussion. So again, prepare yourself well right up front. So get passionate, get energy, get motivated. Walk through your briefing a couple times. Walk through your discussion a couple times. Walk through your brainstorm with your partners a couple times through various questions, various strategies, various techniques. Because, again, I always tell my clients, come at your briefing three different ways. And Bruce Lee, in fact, used to train from three different positions, right? From the ground, even, and above. Because they all require different strategies and techniques to be successful. And I would ask you to think about your presentations, your meetings, to be similarly, so that no matter what happens, no matter what shows up on the other side, you're ready, prepared. You got your armor on. You're ready to go. So your prep work is really critical. So again, done a couple of Facebook posts this week talking about how your prep work it can be just totally, totally powerful if you do it right. And so many people show up and don't have haven't done their prep work. They really don't understand what their customer's world vision is, what their needs are, haven't dialed in their pain points. And so it's a quote-unquote cold call. And cold calls are rarely successful. And again, nothing sells itself. So again, it's up to you to sell yourself. So you're that first meeting or that discussion is you have to generate confidence, trust, a sense of gap, a sense of need, and the sense that you are the prize because you're the one who can deliver on the now sensed gaps in your customers' minds. So when you think about it that way, I think you come at the world a different way. You come at the sales call or the meeting in a different way. And again, I always advise my clients, you got one shot. You only got one shot to make a first impression. Cliche, I know, but you have one shot with this customer. So who shows up? You know, how does he make a judgment? In the old days, people used to say, well, you know, it takes 7 slides to kind of warm up and all that sort of stuff. And then, yes, then the thinking became, well, you got a couple of minutes before your customer really makes a judgment about you. Well, a Harvard study years ago said the customer makes a judgment about you. We make judgments about people in 150 milliseconds. So you don't have a lot of time, my friends. That's like less than the blink of an eye, right? So you don't have a lot of time to do that. So the more you show up prepared, armed, ready, passionate about what you have, and clear, absolute clarity on your message, then you can start to engage. Because face it, you know, it's hard to overcome a bad first meeting. And it's not Bill Fight. So your mission is to very quickly in that meeting create a sense of pull. Because push is hard. Pull is easy, man. When your customer's pulling you into his sphere, man, that's nirvana. You've hit the home run. So I'd really ask you to think about your last meeting. Rerun your game film. It's another session I had this week. Rerun the game film to your last couple of call meetings or sales calls. Take a look at them. How did you show up? What happened? Do you remember? Were you even that present? Because often we're so busy talking, we don't listen. We're too busy talking, we don't notice things. And I gave an example in one of my talks this week about in a meeting where this team that said they were doing just absolutely wonderfully, man. They were briefing a very high-tech solution to a customer's team. And they came out and high-fived themselves and said, man, we kicked ass and awesome meeting, dudes, and all that sort of stuff. And I said, guys, did you see the technical director? I said, no. I said, he, in the middle of your briefing, he picked up a Coke can and smashed it into his forehead. I think he was a little frustrated. I don't think he's high-fiving anybody. And I think he may be dismissing us right now as we speak, as we're walking out of the facility. So again, you got to be present. To be present, you have to be prepared. To have power, you have to be prepared. And when you're prepared and you have power, then you indeed become the prize and the show, and you can do your thing. And God, when you get in the flow state, when you've got it all down, when you walk in and you are just on fire, that is contagious. It's very difficult to say no to that, especially when you've connected with their pain points, especially when you create that sense of gap. Nature abhors a vacuum, right? So the more gap you create in your customer's mind by what you're offering, how wonderfully you're playing the game is the thing that creates that spark in him that causes him to want to engage with you. And again, when you're in there, rather than talk about what you do or how you do what you do, show them. Show them that this is how I'm going to interoperate with you when you engage with me on this contract, whether it's a consulting gig or a range of services, whatever it is. Because think about it, consulting is a really, it's been my field for many, many, many years. But consulting is always, it's looked on as four different kinds of spaces, if you will. You know, there's the guy they hire for his subject matter expertise, right? That's the former lab chief or, you know, the former chief engineer of a company or whomever, or he's formerly out of the customer's shop, if you will. And then there's the senior advisor, and that's, a senior person who most companies look to provide insight into what the higher levels of your buying community might be looking for. Okay. And then there's the doer. This is to somebody who come in and fills a gap. And that's really kind of it's necessary. And it's really required, but it requires a very different sort of skill set or expertise to be able to execute well. And then there's the creator. And that's the guy who comes in with the high-flying ideas, maybe. But no, with the insightful and brilliant ideas, who sees the dots, connects the dots even when the dots aren't all there, and provides a insight into how you might attain the art of that possible. I would argue it's great if you can do all four of those. And there are very few people out there who can. So again, focus on what you're best at. And that's the way you show up and play. And if you want to be better at something else, then it's going to be work. So you've got to commit to do the work to get the ball down the field to be able to show up as that persona. And again, once you decide who you're going to be, then you've got to live into that space. You've got to live into that persona you're creating, that brand you're trying to project to the world. Because again, you are the show. You don't want to be viewed as simply another commodity. You don't want to be viewed as someone who just, it was just out there and there's 20 guys who can do that and I'll pick the guy with the lowest price. Because commodities wars always end with blood around your ankles, just the way it is. So how do you create and present a persona that is engaging, unique, and creates a demand, sense of demand in your customer's mind? And that's how you play. And I would encourage you, again, go back and rerun the game films of your last three meetings, say, and just say, well, okay, let me just kind of rerun this. How could I have done better? What would I have done better? And start to get a feel for yourself. And one way to do that is, seriously, is to video yourself. Just go through the last meeting you had or briefing you did and video yourself and then watch it. You'll find that the best critic of you is you. And you can decide, and then you can react to you on screen and decide, geez, I wouldn't have sat there for 5 minutes with me. Maybe that's a good lesson to learn. It's a necessary lesson if it's true. And you've got to decide, again, how you want to play. And then you can practice it. Why not? How many times do you dry run or practice your discussions, your briefings before your sales calls? Most of us don't do it because, hey, we got this, man. Well, I would guarantee you that the more you prepare, the better prepared you are, the more present you are, the more you are able to think clearly on your feet, the better able you are to listen, which is, man, we're all talking a fast game most of the time, right? But you want to be able to listen and be able to react and adjust and adapt in real time. Because again, you're trying to demonstrate to your customer how you're going to play under contract to them. And again, no matter what you're trying to sell. And so it's how you prep, the power you present, forecast, and broadcast, how you play, how you show up, and then how you demonstrate in the arena how you're going to operate under contract with them. And then a couple last things I'd like to leave you with thoughts is what makes you memorable. Decide what that is. It's not a legacy question. It can lead to one, of course, but it's why will they remember you? Let's assume that your customer has seen 10 different vendors or consultants or salesmen or whatever in the past 8 hours, and you're the last guy of the day. Why is he going to remember you? Because you're the last guy of the day? He's probably burnt out from listening to the same kind of blah, 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 blah all day. So why will he remember you? And I think you got to decide that before you go into your meeting. Because if you don't, that's hard to make up on the fly, guys. But if you don't, you do that first, then your brand is never going to come across with clarity. Remember, what you want is you want him to be absolutely clear about your offering, about who the trust level you guys have, about why he needs you, the gaps you're going to fill for him, and that he has a path to success when he picks you. Because without that, what's the point, right? It's just another gig. And as markets shift, which they are shifting every day more and more, and people want more quicker, they want quicker, agile, and immediate kinds of rapid solutions, you got to show you got that game to play up. So again, think about your outcome. Think about your, you know, why were you going to be memorable? And it's really important because in many industries, they've dumbed down their acquisition process or their buying process, if you will, so radically that everything's kind of the same. It's all vanilla. And they've done that for a couple of reasons. We don't need to go into those now, but it sure makes it easy to just pick somebody, and it's usually a basis of lowest cost. But you remember the old Vietnam, maybe you don't, but the old Vietnam story, it says, you know, you turn your gun over and it says, your rifle over and it says, you know, provided by the lowest priced bidder. And it doesn't exactly instill confidence in some folks. But anyway, the thought is, how do I make myself discriminate myself, make myself separated, drive a wedge between me and the rest of the field in a good way to be able to demonstrate that you can take them to the promised land? And again, I think you got to show that you understand their gaps, you understand their needs, your message is clear right up front, and then you just play. And enjoy it. Again, when you get in that sort of flow state in a meeting, you become captivating. You capture their imagination, which really truthfully is what you really need, right? And then you got to close it. And in every meeting, I would argue, doesn't need to be an hour. Most effective meetings are about 20 minutes. Because to have that kind of meeting, A, you have to have absolute clarity. B, your customer likes it because his attention span doesn't run for an hour. Mine doesn't. Is yours? So again, the clearer you are, the more powerful you show up, the better prepared you are. Then you can walk in, you can do your deal, you can get connected with him immediately, create that alignment, create that level of trust, and in impress upon him your true brand. Because then you can start to really have power in the marketplace. And by the way, that gets contagious. And you, again, show up in the same brand, same power every time out. Then you get a reputation. And reputation in small businesses and entrepreneurships are critical, because that's really, you know, what you have to offer. Think about it as a consulting firm. You know, there's some big houses that, you know, you say their names and everybody goes, ooh, ah. But when you look at their products, they really are wanting. And when you look at their products, people who have smaller organizations or have absolutely no use for a lot of the outputs because they're just so generic and so tome-like. What our deal is and where we want to move is we want to get down to the 5 to 10 key things you have to go do, get them laid out, do them. You want to get quick, rapid results. And you can only do that when you're really well prepared, clear on your vision, clear on your mission, clear on what you want to be remembered as, and clear on what you want out of the meeting. And again, if you can do a meeting in 20 minutes, I would argue your customer is going to be highly satisfied because, again, he's not sitting there listening to the blah, blah, blah he's heard for the past 8 hours. So think about it. How would you want to be talked to? How would you want someone to show up? Why do you like certain people who show up in your office or, you know, on your game? And they just create a sense of almost a mystical sense of presence. And then there are people show up and you're just sitting there thinking to yourself, why am I even bothering with this meeting? And start to study yourself. Start to study yourself. What do you like? What don't you like? What do you do? What do you not do? What don't you like about what you do? And be harsh on yourself because your competition will. Believe me, that's always the case. So with that, I'd like to close out today's broadcast and invite everyone to our webinar on Thursday night, this coming Thursday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. And I'll post the conference line number on the website with this broadcast. So please feel free to join us. And I'm just going to spend an hour talking about some power strategies to help reframe our games. So with that, I'd like to wish everybody a blessed day and a blessed week, and look forward to seeing you on the call on Thursday night. And so you make it a great one. This is John Goyack, Master Success Coach at Reframe Your Game. Take care.